FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
It will be cloudy with outbursts of rain this evening, with a more organised area of rain, which will be heavy at times. It will spread northwards across all parts overnight, becoming breezy near the coast. Less cold compared to recent nights, minimum temperature 3 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow it will be cloudy and wet with further periods of rain and drizzle. Locally it will be heavy. Rain will persist overnight, perhaps easing towards dawn. It'll be breezier and feeling rather cold, especially on exposed coasts. Maximum temperature will be 5 degrees Celsius, and that is your weather.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
And welcome to the arts programme here on Phoenix FM. This is the official first weekend of Christmas, or as I heard somebody say last night, this is Treemus, the weekend. I think they made that up. The weekend where you put up your Christmas tree, and it's starting to feel all Christmassy in the studio as well, and it's cold outside, so we'll give you a warm hug of a show with Christmas podcasts, more Christmas books and stories and all sorts of Christmassy things that you can enjoy throughout the next 2 hours.
We'll be talking about some Christmas bestsellers in terms of those books to snuggle up with in this Christmas. And if, unlike Claire, you haven't even started buying your presents yet, we'll give you a roundup of some great homemade options. And, of course, we'll have a wonderfully Christmassy playlist with some other new releases slipped in for good measure. So let's get on with it.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Natalie. And this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Your old partner and friend. Just thought I'd drop by, I was in the area. Remember Jacob Marley, your old partner who's dead. You're in for one crazy night, just to prepare. Life on the other side isn't a party, at least not for Marley, alright. Three spirits. So Scrooge, you gotta listen, 'cause they're coming for you. Talking about three spirits. Christmas spirits on a mission, and they're coming for you.
Who are you again?
Scrooge, don't pretend. I'm Marley, I'm your dead friend.
I won't believe it, don't wanna hear it.
No way, am I your first spirit?
You're just indigestion.
What a suggestion to a ghost, that's pretty offensive.
You're just a nightmare.
Stop, you're right there.
Bye. You're real, what do I care?
Scrooge, I was like you in life, cared only about myself and continuing success in our profession. My spirit never grew in life, I only grew my wealth. And you've probably guessed, but yes, I'm not in heaven. These scary chains I wear are also around you. They've already bound you tight. My scary fate you'll share unless you can wake up and listen to Jacob. 'Cause tonight you'll be haunted by three spirits. So Scrooge, you gotta listen, 'cause they're coming for you. Talking about three spirits. Some spirits on a mission, and they're coming for you. The first will come when the clock strikes one.
If they all came together, it could save some time.
They'll be done before the morning sun, and you might have a chance to save your life.
Jacob, do you need to be so over the top and mean to me?
Scrooge, we live so greedily and indecently. Did we need to be? Now I'm doomed to float among the living, to see the life I could live but didn't. Seeing all the love and the kindness and forgiving, regretting every wasted hour and minute. Scrooge, learn a lesson from my mistakes. Hear my message and confession, your soul's at stake. For your own sake, listen to Jane. Tonight before day breaks, you'll be haunted by three spirits. So Scrooge, you gotta listen, 'cause they're coming for you. Talking about three spirits. Oh, three spirits. Christmas spirits on a mission, and they're coming for you.
Marley's dancing in the moonlight, but it's time for him to go. And he flies away into the night, jumping right through the window. Joined in 100 other ghosts as they fly all about. Scrooge lets go of his bedpost and passes out.
Tell us about that track then.
So that song was called Free Spirit. So again, that's a Charlotte Bays choice, and it's by Starkids. Have you heard of Starkids before?
No.
So Charlotte used to be absolutely obsessed with Starkids. We went to see them at MCM about 3-4 years in a row. But anyway, so it's from Team Starkids, a VHS Christmas Carol. It's a 42-minute musical based on Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Oh.
Its aesthetics are inspired by the 1980s and is available to watch on Team Starkids' YouTube channel. So Starkids basically are a YouTube group that make musicals.
And I've never heard of this.
Yeah, they've probably been around for about 15 years.
Oh, well, where have I been?
Yeah, the guy from, what's that TV program where they sing all the time? Glee,
okay.
The really hot...
Is this an American thing?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. But one of the guys from Glee was in it, and he kind of... bought them up a bit. I can't remember his name, but he was in Glee. He was in the series where the two gay guys fall in love.
two guy gays.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
I can't remember that series. It was, he was a very long hot time since
and
I watched
he went to the all boys school.
Okay,
yeah, but anyway, he's in the Starkids gang, so there's quite good links with Glee as well. I went to a conference once, which was, you met some of the cast of Starkids, and also some of the people from Glee were there at the same time. Me and Charlotte stayed in this hotel for 2 days. Also, the Gold Power Ranger. Not sure how that also intersects with Starkids.
Wow.
But well, yeah, that was a thing.
So this is a Charlotte thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when, how old was Charlotte when you went to that conference and stayed in the hotel?
Oh.
In my head, she's like 8.
It was about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. She's older than 8.
Yeah, so she would have been 13.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The things
teenage
that you did.
Dreams.
The things that you did for Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah, at one point, Charlotte was going and getting photos signed, and I was sat in the bar doing some work while all of these kids are having fun. And a couple of the cast from Starkids walked into the bar and sat down and were like, oh, hi. And I'm thinking Charlotte would absolutely love this, but she's not allowed in the bar.
Oh, does Charlotte know that that was happening?
Yeah, I think she
now.
Did. There was always these cases of I would be talking to somebody and then she'd turn around and go, Natalie, that's the person we've come to see. And I'm like, well, I'm telling them off because this queue is not acceptable.
Fun time. So have you had a good week?
It's been
because you're in Christmas season now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Full on Christmas season.
So 1st of December saw me doing a Facebook Live at the Mercury Mall with a giant elf.
Oh, God.
That was a bit like a 90s TV programme. So basically you have to run into to a shop and find a golden envelope and then come back and then you win a prize if you've got the golden ticket. So I was hosting that with a giant elf, dressed as Willy Wonka.
You were dressed as Willy Wonka.
No, the elf is dressed as Willy Wonka.
I'm so confused
but
already.
I have a hat.
Is this like
cane?
A really bad dream that you had?
It might be. But that was midday, and then in the afternoon, I was literally painting a sleigh.
Nice.
The world, shopping centre management.
The world
management,
of shopping
right?
centre management. What can I say?
So I've had a busy
Fun
week,
times.
But you've been away. You've been
yes,
to
I've had a not busy week. Well, I mean, I've done lots of things, but I've been walking around the island of Madeira and eating lots of seafood and lots of pastel de nata. And
did you drink any beverages
drinking
from Madeira?
Some lots. Just went to 2 Madeira tasting sessions.
Ooh.
And I've definitely decided that I've got to the age now where I like Madeira.
Because Madeira is a bit like port, isn't it? And that's very Christmassy in itself.
Yeah, it is. And sadly, we had to leave on Friday. I mean, literally, sadly that we had to leave. We were desperately asking the bus driver if he could think of any way of keeping us in the country for another week.
the pilot's trying to drag you into the plane.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh no, look, there's fog on the runway. And they're like, no, it's just the clouds. We fly through this all the time. No,
this
we can't
cloud,
possibly
Claire.
Go back.
There's been one cloud this week. There it is.
But yeah, so before we left, it was the 1st of December, and on the 1st of December all of their Christmas stuff happens across Madeira, but we were in the capital city of Funchal and the Christmas market happens.
Aww.
And then they have life-size nativity scenes.
Cool.
Which are interesting and hilarious in lots
are they
of ways.
Animatronic?
So no, not necessarily. Oh. But they're just really kind of like bad looking shop models. They're like those ones that you throw out
like
from the 70s.
A broken shop model that's got a Christmas beard on or something and a hat.
A bit like that. Cool. And there was, but yeah, loads of, like, on the lights are amazing. Like their Christmas lights, they really go all out to town on their Christmas lights. Because Madeira, one of the things that Madeira is famous for is New Year's Eve fireworks.
Okay.
They have the biggest fireworks of the whole of Europe, I think. So lots of people go there for New Year's Eve. But the Christmas markets and the whole Christmassy thing, it is really weird, though, walking around in 24 degrees.
Yeah, we had a similar thing in Tenerife last year. It's like, it's really nice, but
it's
also
really, nice.
Really surreal.
Yeah. And all our poinsettias, you know, we try and have poinsettias in this country and we take them into our homes and within about, 3 days, all the leaves have fallen, all the red leaves have fallen off and they look really miserable. And there's like the point, they don't just have poinsettias in a little... In a little, bucket that we have that you can buy from all the different places you can buy them from. They have poinsettia trees in Madeira.
Ooh.
These huge, Madeira, I'd say it probably Madeira, and these huge poinsettia trees. They all say that.
Really?
Madeira.
Yeah.
It's not Madeira, it's Madeira.
Yeah.
And if you say it too much, it goes a bit weird. But yeah, the poinsettia trees were amazing. The eucalyptus trees were just, even though the islanders don't like them because they're quite an invasive species, they are beautiful and they smell gorgeous. But I went on a couple of walks that were absolutely terrifying beyond.
Like cliff walks.
Yes. Yes.
Is Madeira like a giant rock?
Yes. Yes, it's cool. Volcanic. It's got black sand. It's got black rocks.
I didn't realise it had black sand, actually.
Yeah, it's got black. It doesn't have much sand, but where it does have sand, it's black. And it is literally, you spend the whole of the time looking up or looking down. There's not a lot of flat. And people, there's not so many farmers, unfortunately, in Madeira anymore. But people do farm on kind of, you know, really steep cliff faces. And they have this really beautiful kind of strata of growing plants.
Yeah, like different layers.
Yeah, and when you look up the whole of the side of a mountain, you can see the kind of, you know, depending on how many metres from sea level, you've got vines, you've got bananas, you've got sugar cane, you've got... And some parts of the island, you've got chestnut trees, and it's just, and some parts of the island is eucalyptus. It's naturally,
Do they have wild goat herding there? Sorry, I'm just asking you lots of questions.
They don't have, I don't remember anybody saying anything about wild goat. There are goats that are kept, goats and sheep and cows are kept on the island. There's no predatory creatures there apart from birds.
Oh.
So they have, falcons and buzzards and things, but there's no foxes, no lions, no bears. I don't know why there'd be lions, but
yeah, I mean, I guess nothing, a lot of the stuff would have had to be bought there anyway, because it's in the middle of the sea.
And apparently there's rats because of the Vikings.
Because
they did some tests on a rat in Madeira, and they found the genesis of the rat went back totally pre-Portuguese times, which was kind of more sort of 15th century, 14th century when Portuguese arrived. But
so they
Vikings
must have just
arrived
there at some,
before
some point.
That. Yeah,
and they never settled there, though, did they?
No,
Vikings.
They didn't. They didn't.
Just went for a beach holiday.
They went to Porto Santo, which is the next island along. They went there for their beach holiday. And then they looked at Madeira and went, whoa, that's too
It's a bit steep for harvesting things.
Yeah. but Madeira wine was created by accident.
Oh.
So they shipped off, they brought grapes in, and Portuguese brought grapes in from Italian or Spanish vineyards, and they grew grapes, and then they were taking the wine and exporting the wine. And these barrels of wine, there's lots of different variations of the story, but the story that I like was that the barrels of wine were forgotten about on the boat, and they went on this kind of year-long tour, on the kind of wine trade tour.
The best travelled wine in the world.
The best travelled wine in the world. And returned back to Madeira, and because of the high concentration of sugar in the grapes and various other things, and because of the movement of the waves, and because of all sorts of other conditions, what they kind of said was, oh, this wine's, we've forgotten about this wine on the boat and it's going to be ruined. And they tasted it and it was really fortified and really sweet, and then they were like, oh, this is quite nice, how do we do that? And then so one guy told us that they did it again with another ship. They decided that they didn't understand how to kind of create those conditions on land. So they sent another ship off for a year.
Yeah. Just leave those barrels out there.
Just
the
do
back.
The same again and work out. Anyway, they worked out how to do it on land. So they're kind of Madeira wine should never really have shouldn't have existed, but did. So yeah, so that was fun. It was a really, really nice week. Stayed in a really lovely hotel right in the middle of Funchal. Which was much nicer than staying in the...
You were quite coastal before, weren't you?
Yeah, well, we were in the kind of big hotel area. And it's just outside of Funchal. And it's just like the whole strip is full of these huge, you know, depersonalized monolithic hotels, and they just feel so wrong. Everything about them feels wrong. So
kind of unpersonal.
Yeah, and just too much excess. There's a real problem in the hotel industry is that everything is just there to make your life easier, but everything is excessive, and everything, you know, it's just needs washing and ironing, and you know, like we were like, please don't change our beds, please leave our beds for a week.
Really?
You know, it's like just don't do the washing. It's just trying to get people to. I mean, you can't do that. You could do that in the hotel we were in, but you couldn't do that in the hotel we were in last year because they were just like an automatic pilot. But they are like those big hotels are just like static.
Yeah.
Ships, you know, they're static cruises. So the other big thing about Madeira is the cruise industry. So there's lots of huge cruise ships that come in, and when they come in on the dock, they just obscure the whole view of the sea. You can't see anything beyond them. And there was one ship that came in that was, I think I can't remember where it was, where it came from, but it had 20 layers, 20 decks.
Wow. So it was one like of the biggest skyscraper.
It was one of the biggest floating cruise ships. And wow. It was like landed in Madeira and you just kind of go, oh my God. That's all just the pollution from
when,
all that.
When I think about that though, it's just such a feat of engineering, isn't it?
Like, yeah, how does that float? So like, why is that, why doing is that aeroplane flying?
Your science experiment at school where you've got a cork and a bit of blue tack and it's floating. How does that turn into a cruise ship?
Yeah.
Who knows?
How many of those layers are just holding air to keep it floated? Oh, who knows? So yeah, Madeira is a big thing. And caught up on Doctor Who. I saw you talking about Doctor Who last week, but I caught up on the Doctor Who two episodes. I've caught up on both of those. Seen some of the comments.
We were at a wedding yesterday and we got home at 2 a.m. and watched the next episode of Doctor Who.
As you do.
So, yeah, we just need to watch this. I much preferred the first episode to the one that we watched yesterday.
Okay.
I might watch it again.
I need to watch the first one again, actually. But yeah.
I just love the Meep.
The Meep.
Oh, I just... Miriam Margolyer, she's so good.
Oh, so that good. Was... Yeah, that was very good.
I've seen some fab memes as well about
you?
The Meep. Yeah. You know the famous one with the cat at the restaurant and there's the two women and one's holding the other woman back while she's pointing? It's that, but the
Meep.
Yeah.
The Meep, nice.
Yeah.
I caught up with... I watched Archie on ITV Plus, which is about Archie Leach, or as we mostly know him, Cary Grant. So that was a six episode series on ITV. Really interesting, actually, to see. It's a bit like The Crown, so there's elements in it.
So like a docudrama?
Yes, there are elements in it that have been dramatised for more effect, but there's lots of basis in it which is taken from accurate historical records and people, first person interviews and things like that. So it really does represent, you know, Cary Grant was brought up in Bristol in England in almost abject poverty. And it really does kind of hone in on his relationship with his mother and his father and his younger brother that died when he was really young, sort of like paints the sort of story of why was Cary Grant and how he was. And, you know, he was quite a womanizer, quite a kind of, you know, really struggled to find and form everlasting bonding friendships and love.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting. And Jason Isaacs played Cary Grant, and he did a really good Cary Grant, actually. And there's a temptation to kind of overdo Cary Grant because he created himself. You know, he created his accent, he created his name, and there's a temptation to slightly overdo, particularly his accent, which was a very weird sort of Bristol, England mixed with American accent.
Yeah.
And Tony Curtis, who was an actor in the 60s, who did Some Like It Hot, and very famously in Some Like It Hot, was imitating Cary Grant. And Jack Lemmon, who stars opposite him, says to him at one point in the film, "Nobody talks like that." because he's doing this very kind of Cary Grant accent. So
yeah.
Jason Isaacs didn't do that. He did get an accent across that you kind of felt was authentic enough to Cary Grant, but didn't go too far with it. And that's what I was kind of worried about, like somebody...
Because if it's overacted, you just notice it a little bit too much.
And then it would jar. And
whereas if it's not quite right, but it's still authentic, you're not going to notice.
Yes, and you so also much, forgot that Jason Isaacs was Malfoy's dad. You sort of managed to forget that as well.
I've forgotten that anyway.
Oh, it's... But like, because he didn't have any of that malevolence or any of that. But he was graceful and, you know, it was... Cary Grant's daughter that was really involved in the making of that series and kind of okayed everything about it.
Oh, cool.
And she's obviously, she was brought up a lot with her dad because her mum was, you know, off shooting some major thing with Danny Kaye. And so she's obviously very protective over Cary Grant's memory and the way he's been portrayed. But I thought it really gave you, like, there were some really tragic things that happened to him. Like, you know, his younger brother died because he had septic wound and he died, and his mother couldn't cope. She was so depressed after the death of her second son. And, you know, quite rightly, she didn't have any help or support, so she ended up being really ill, and her husband put her in an asylum, as they call them then. And
that's just what would have happened.
That's just what, and she was left there for most of her life. And the father told Cary Grant that she had died, you know. Oh. So when he was like nine, he was, you know, you're going to go and live with your grandmother. Yeah, you're going to go and live with your grandmother. I'm shacking up with her and my new family. And your mum's died, by the way. Like, literally.
Wow.
I was like, that's really, it's just like so much for a little kid to take in. And then he literally ran away to the circus and kind of came to New York and made his fame and fortune. And then in his later life, in his 40s or 50s at some point, his dad contacted him when he was now famously Cary Grant, and said, oh, by the way, your mum's still alive. You know, like, he'd gone all of that time in his life thinking that she died. And so he went back and took her out of the asylum and kind of gave her somewhere to live. But it was a very strained and difficult relationship that he'd had with her at that point. And obviously, she'd been living in an asylum for 20 years. Yeah, she was detained for 20, 30 years of her life. So there were some really kind of... It's worth watching on ITV Plus. Really interesting if you're interested in Cary Grant, but also just kind of, it's a person's life story.
I guess it's a puzzle piece, isn't it? You know, you know about these famous people, but, you know, the background story.
Yeah.
It's just as interesting.
And it just makes you want to go and watch Cary Grant movies, you know. You just kind of want to go and watch some of the joy that he was in things like Bringing Up Baby and Arsenic and Old Lace and some of the Hitchcock films. You know, his comedy, I really liked him in comedy. Thought he was just absolutely brilliant as a comedian, comedic actor. So, yes, that was Archie, which is on ITV Plus. I also caught up with my favourite Scottish sitcom. Since I've been back, I've literally just been on sitting on the sofa doing our panto stuff and having TV on in the background.
Like Osmosis TV.
Yes. Osmosis TV of Two Doors Down, which is a Scottish sitcom which I absolutely adore. It's on its eighth season now. I love it. Love it. And then on last night I went to Jack and the Beanstalk at Chelmsford Theatre.
Oh, we can talk about that later.
We can talk about that later.
Section.
Yes, but let's have some Christmas music then. That I listened to a whole bunch of school kids singing this.
I need to tell you this song.
Yeah,
weirdly enough, is the most popular Christmas song in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's very popular in Madeira.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad.
Phoenix FM.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out, with two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privett. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Your local hospice needs your support this festive season, and there are so many ways that you can make a difference. Purchase your Secret Santa and stocking filler gifts at any St. Francis Hospice store. Host a jumpers or gym jams day at work, or support the Christmas tree recycling service. The team at St. Francis Hospice will pick up and recycle your real Christmas tree for a donation with a brand new sponsor, the Sharp Group. So support your local hospice this Christmas.
Phoenix FM.
Thank you, Kelly Clarkson. Underneath the Tree, that one starts off our musical playlist today, which is mostly, not entirely, but mostly Christmassy. And of course we had Jose Feliciano with Feliz Navidad before that. Which I heard a group of young kids singing in Madeira on Friday morning. Oh. It was so lovely.
And then you had to come home.
And then I had to come home to this, some national news.
I can sing it to you later, Claire, on
Thank
the way
you.
Home.
Thanks. I look forward to that. Let's go through the appallingly horrible national news in the creative world. Creative UK has launched a new bullying and harassment resource hub for the industry. It's Not Okay is a new free-to-use e-learning module to help give the creative industries the tools to call out and tackle bullying and harassment. There's been lots of talk about this in the government over the last sort of 6 months, and Creative UK has responded with It's Not Okay, which is a module which aims to inform workers in the industry about all these prevalent issues and offer guidance on where and whom people can approach for help. And they've said that research indicates that 46% of workers in the film and television sector across the UK reported being bullied at work.
Wow.
Twice the rate of the workforce in the wider economy. So that's obviously very specific to TV and film. In advertising, research indicates 26% of the workforce has been sexually harassed. 72% of this group of people reported having been harassed more than once. And in music, research shows that 48% of musicians report having experienced some form of sexual harassment at work, and that 85% of victims did not report it. And, you know, lots of those reasons why people don't report things are because they fear that's the end of their career if they complain.
Yeah.
Which is just a horrendous place to be in.
Against powerful people, right?
No, exactly. It's a power balance or an imbalance that's existing in lots of these industries. And, you know, the creative industries is what we're interested in this show.
Yeah.
But obviously this is happening across all sorts of other industries too. No abuse towards any individual is acceptable. Women, young workers, freelancers and people working extended hours are particularly vulnerable. And the culture and creative industries has a duty of care to act, they've said. If you've experienced harassment or bullying or know someone who has, or perhaps you work in an organisation that's interested in finding out how to prevent and protect people in the workforce, here's how to access this new learning module. Go to wearecreative.uk/bullying-harassment. So that's something for everyone to go and have a look at.
I really hope that that's a website that lots of organisations will access, whether or not they think there is a bullying culture or not in their organisation. Because I think it's really important to understand whether or not the way you are acting as an organisation is bullying as well.
And I think also just like really understanding the definition of bullying and harassment. I think a lot of cases are not being reported because people don't really understand what's bullying or harassing behaviour.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So if you're an organisation or if you're interested in this, and this is about preventing, so this is about saying not when the problem comes to your door, but so actually preventing,
making sure it doesn't happen to start
with. Exactly. So use those modules, and they're free and accessible to everyone.
Yeah. So good news, but not so good news.
Yes.
What else is happening in arts and culture? McKinsey & Co has published a major new report on arts in the UK, showing that the sector was worth $49 billion to the economy in 2022, which is the same as food and beverage.
That's
in terms
really
of economy.
Important. I'm going to steal that fact.
It is important,
it's
isn't it?
It's really important. $49 billion was worth to the economy.
Yeah, it's as important to the economy as literally eating and drinking here.
Yes, that's so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Important for our arts organisations, important for our artists, our freelancers, the whole network, and also important for all of those other businesses that benefit from this. So that whole kind of tourism, as well as, you know, every artist at some point is going to need legal support, financial support, is going to need hairdressers, coffee shops. The more creative businesses that we have, the more wider businesses that we have.
You should see the amount of samosas that are bought at film festivals.
You would have no idea.
I don't, but maybe we should find out.
We'll cover that on another show.
Yes.
And there's obviously COP28 is going on at the moment. So over 1,000 arts organisations and leaders have backed a global call to embed culture into climate policy at COP28.
Culture obviously being very important in being able to actually do those things.
Yes.
Bloomberg New Contemporaries is set to return to the Camden Art Centre after a hiatus of over two decades.
That's a good news. Yeah. That's good news.
So that means
They're over at Liverpool Street at the moment, aren't they? Bloomberg New Contemporaries.
I can't remember where they are now.
But anyway, they'll be
at Camden Arts Centre. Yeah. That'd be good. Architecture Awards, French studio and retrofit champions Lacaton and Vassal have won the 2023 Sohn Medal for Architecture. And in the Design Awards, winners here are Sumaya Valley being named Emerging Architect of the Year.
It's quite a few awards rolling about at the moment. In theatre and heritage, London's Royal Court is launching a digital archive of almost 2,000 works shown on its stage since its establishment in 1956.
Does that mean that they've filmed shows, or does that mean just kind of archive materials?
Ooh.
Do you think? Because there's some amazing shows that have been at the Royal Court over the past 20 odd years, so that's really exciting.
I really don't know.
We'll have a look.
This one's quite fun. Swindon could be getting a new 2,000 seat theatre on the site of an old bus station. I'm really hoping that this means that they will be using the architecture of the bus station to create a theatre.
That would be amazing. Yeah. And a bit of Ali Pali has received funding. A project to restore another of the derelict sections of Ali Pali has received funding from Historic England's At Risk programme. And if you haven't been to Alexander Palace over the last few years, the theatre's come back. There's a huge amount of renovation that's been going on to that beautiful building.
I literally went there a couple of weeks ago.
Did
and
you?
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah,
for the first time. Yeah. And I didn't realise how spectacular it is with all of the glass. You can also go ice skating there as well.
The
ice nice Christmassy
been,
trip.
Been there for a long time, but they brought back the theatre.
They've got a little television museum as well. You can see some of the old BBC cameras that they used for the coronation and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
Really cool.
Which look a bit like Daleks, I always think.
I do.
And in the books, what have we got? We've got Booker Prize winners, haven't we? So Paul Lynch has won this year's Booker Prize for his book Prophet Song, which is about the rise of the fascist regime in Dublin. And Catherine Rundell's children's novel Impossible Creatures has been named as Waterstone's Book of the Year. And we've got some more children's books to come up later on.
Yeah.
Let's get back to our Christmassy playlist. And you can't have Christmas without Ella.
When the bells all ring and the horns all blow, and the couples we know are fondly kissing, will I be with you? Or will I be among the missing? Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing? Arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in the new year, New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm crazy suppose I'd ever be the one you chose out of a thousand invitations you receive. Ah, but in case I stand one little chance, New Year's, New
tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe that we rely on. When I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey, yo, listen what I say, yo. I got your hey, yo, now listen what I say, yo. When will I know that I really can go to the well once more, time to decide on? When it's killing me, when will I really see all that I need to look inside? Come to believe that I better not leave.
Running through the field where all my tracks will be concealed, and there's no
And that was the Red Hot Chili Peppers with Snow. Hey-o.
Red Hot Chili Peppers trying to do Christmas songs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they've got to have a go. And before that, we had Ella Fitzgerald with What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? What are you doing New Year's Eve?
Well, we were just discussing that. Hopefully, being somewhere where it's hot.
Yes.
And not being in the UK.
Madeira. Go to Madeira.
Possibly.
I will be hosting my usual New Year's Eve quiz, but it's a two-location New Year's Eve this year because I'm teaming up with Debbie.
Two location. Does that mean you do half the quiz at your house and then you run down the road?
Yes, and then do
that
the
is
drunk.
Literally what's yes. happening.
then you have really then fun. You have a quiz game to get you to the next location.
Oh, so it's a bit like the Crystal Maze.
Yes, I think it will be. Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to aim for. Anyway, let's get back to our Christmas playlist. Look, it's nearly 5 o'clock. I've got loads to tell you about. So if you're anything like me, you'll have bought all your Christmas presents already and your wardrobe will be absolutely full.
Have you actually bought all of your Christmas presents?
The only thing I haven't bought is Hetty's present, which she has to come with me because she wants a new guitar.
Right, and she's got to choose it.
Yeah. Everything's done.
I've bought hardly anything.
Everything's done. My wardrobe's like...
I've dedicated a day to Christmas shopping and didn't buy anything.
I have dedicated another day to Christmas shopping.
Just bought loads of wrapping paper.
Oh.
But it's nice wrapping paper.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I just like having it all done. But I see there's always like final bits and pieces to get. But if you haven't bought anything yet or you're still thinking about all those final bits and pieces and you don't know what to buy for people, here's a few ideas that might even help save you a few pennies. There's nothing nicer, and I really genuinely mean this, everybody gets something homemade from me every year, whether they like it or not. But I really like homemade stuff. I made my sister her advent calendar. And part of the reason why I like making things for people is because I really like their reactions. It's all about me. I really like seeing their reactions.
The selfish gene. We understand.
I made her advent calendar this year, and it was 24 books that that I told her I wanted her to tell me her favourite books for the radio show, and then I lied, and I turned them into little illustrations that were about each book. So it was a little illustration on an envelope, and inside was a little quote from that book, and then that was tagged onto a little brown bag with a sweet and a little present in it.
Aww.
And I did 24 of them, and they all look beautiful, and they've all got little illustrations done in black ink pen with a twist of fairy lights around each one.
Oh.
That's
a lot of work.
And I got that out on Friday morning when we were leaving Madeira, and we were all about like sad about leaving Madeira. I went, oh look, happy 1st of December, and she was like, oh, this is so nice. Aww. So yeah, anyway, so bring a little cheer into somebody's life with a homemade present. That's what I say. Try starting off with something easy. This is if you don't know how to cook necessarily, but you are quite good at biscuits. This is a really simple biscuit recipe. You can use a regular gingerbread recipe for this Pepparkakor village. It's basically a Swedish Christmas biscuit that looks like a house.
I think it's a little bit of like a harder biscuit than you would have as normal English gingerbread.
You can still eat them though.
I have a massive cheat for this.
No, yeah.
If you go to IKEA, you can buy pepparkaka as a dough.
Oh, well, there you go. Go to IKEA, buy some pepparkaka.
Or Swedish kitchen.
Or
Scandinavian kitchen.
Or make your own.
Yes.
It has to be quite a hard gingerbread recipe. So you can use a regular gingerbread recipe that you'd make for making gingerbread houses. But just make them in the shape of a little house, like it's just a flat 2D little house. And then design it with some white icing. And then you can put a hole in them so that you can string them up on a nice ribbon. And I think if you put
the picture that you put in the show notes is very, very cute.
It looks gorgeous.
And doing this as a family would be really,
so then
really
you
lovely.
Can get them all baked together. Yeah. You can ice them all together. Make sure you've left some little holes to thread a ribbon through. Oh. Put them in a nice little bag.
I might make Charlotte do this with me.
Oh, I think you should. So there you go. That was number one. Can you say it again, please?
Pepparkaka
village. There you go.
Oh, yeah, I really love that idea. I once made a pepparkaka turning tower, which is like this big tower that you have in Malmo.
Nice.
And it was very architectural. It's like my pride and joy when it comes to gingerbread.
Okay, so
anyway, moving on from that, this is another choice that I absolutely love, espresso martinis. Of course make espresso martinis.
But this is, again, using, thinking about how can you make something that somebody could, you could upcycle something. So if you can upcycle some little bottles that have some nice, like, you know, kiln ajar type lids or something that kind of really keeps something tightly into that jar. But you could go to, you know, you could get little ones with corks or anything else, but upcycle some bottles, make sure that they are sterilized before you put anything in them, and then fill them with this espresso martini boozy homemade Christmas gift. And it's really simple, couldn't be easier to make. All you need to do is take 250 milliliters of espresso coffee into a saucepan, mix that with 300 grams of caster sugar, and boil it with 1 teaspoon of vanilla bean paste, and wait until the sugar is completely dissolved, because you're making a syrup with the coffee. So you're making essentially a coffee syrup. And then take it off the heat once all the sugar's dissolved and it's a nice coffee syrup, and then add 700 milliliters of vodka for a classic espresso vodka martini base.
But actually you could use dark rum,
you could put tequila in it, you could put anything you wanted in, but 700 milliliters of the alcohol goes in that, and then just wait for it to cool, and then fill up your bottles, put nice little tags on them, nice little notes on them. Easily done.
Top tip: if you drink a lot of port at Christmas, a port bottle with a cork, it's a really great idea.
That is a great idea.
It means you get to drink a bottle of port as well.
And if you don't want to mix it with alcohol, you've got a coffee syrup that you can put into anything. You could put it into cakes, you could put it into coffee, you could put it into hot chocolate, you could put it into anything. So there you go, that was that coffee syrup based around a espresso martini.
Great idea. I think you can do this with lots of things as well, can't you? Like a limoncello. You can dissolve your lemons.
Make yourself some syrups. Yeah. Don't buy those syrups from the shops. Make your own.
Don't need to.
Yes. And if you're like me and you like doing things with bits of wool, then
it's a lifestyle choice.
I found a wool shop in Madeira. It was the first place I went to. You can make some yarn ornaments as a bonus gift for decorating your tree, or give them to your friends and family to decorate their tree. And basically all you do is you wrap up yarn.